By the way, turn around to your neighbor and say, welcome, saints of God. Just welcome, saints of God. Because you are saints of God. You know that, don't you? Welcome, saints of God.
Well, good morning, church. You know, when I say that that word, we sometimes just we glance over the depth and the breadth of what it means to be called the church. And I hope to that every single one of us would have a rediscovering of what it means to be a part of the church. And when I call you the church, that is something that God sees as something powerful, and He sees something that He has ordained, is something that He has established, and is something that He has bound Himself to and committed Himself to and is devoted to as the head of the church. He, the body, Jesus is the head of the church, and we are His body, and we are joined together in Him. Amen? So when I say, good morning, church, that is something of great significance. And we're going to look at what that means this morning. If you have your Bibles and you want to turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, that's what we're going to look at. That's where we're going to start this morning, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. For those of you who may not have been around for the last few weeks, we're in a new sermon series called Covenant Community. And the entire purpose really of the series is to rediscover who we are and why we are. Who we are and why we are. And so all through the month of June and July, we're going to continue on what it means to be a part of a community bound in covenant through the blood of Jesus, that we are bound not only to God, but to each other. And so what does that look like? How do we apply that to our lives? How does it function here at Cornerstone? So on and so on. And we're going to just be building over and over on top of it each and every week. And so today, if you were here last week, we talked about our identity as adopted children into the family of God. And that is such a powerful truth in the Word of God, isn't it? That you have been adopted as a child of the living God, and you've been given full rights and the privileges of the kingdom. Nothing has been taken away from you. You have full rights and privileges as a child of the living God. It's awesome. And so today, I want you to know this morning that you have been called by God into fellowship with one another and communion. You and I have been called by God. When He spoke and He invited you by name to be in fellowship. The word in the Bible is koinonia, to be brought into fellowship, community, and communion with God. It's His intention for you. It's God's will for you that you and I would be brought into koinonia, fellowship, community, not only with Himself, but with each other. You know, I've heard it said multiple times in years. You just hear this statement that, and I'm sure you've heard this before, you may have even said it yourself, that the statement that I love Jesus, but I don't love the church. Right? We've all heard that at some point, right? I love Jesus. He's awesome. He's cool. I'm all about Him. But His church, oh, no way, man. No way. They just haven't got it all together. And I want to kind of gently push back against that mentality this morning, that we can do life with Jesus, be a follower of Jesus, without being a part of the community and the fellowship that He bound us to together through His blood. Now, please understand what I'm trying to say here. I'm not talking about, I understand that people may have been hurt by people in congregations, or you've been hurt by in multiple series of multiple congregations, you've been hurt. And I understand that that would cause someone to be pulled back away from church. Now, that takes a whole new level of care and healing that takes place within the person of restoration and restitution. So I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the mindset and the mentality that we can be Jesus' followers, and we can be His followers without necessarily being in connection with the church. You see, to say I love the church, and I mean love Jesus and not the church, is a contradiction in itself. It's like to say I love parts of Jesus, but not all of Him, right? And that can't be. And see, Jesus says in Matthew, I believe it is that he's talking to His disciples, and He says, by this all people will know that you're My disciples. By this all people will know that you follow Me, that if you have love for each other. if the people of God, the ones who are called by Jesus, the ones identified as Christ's own, Christ's followers, if we have love for each other, then all will know that you are my followers. For love for his people, the church, the community who identify themselves as Jesus' own, this is a defining mark of following Jesus. To be a part of this koinonia, to be a part of it. Now, we know love is something that can be very difficult, right? If anybody here has been married longer than your honeymoon, you understand that there's difficulty in your marriage, that love, to be devoted, committed, and bound to someone in a covenant relationship, it takes work. It's not this passing by of, oh, I have really great thoughts about them kind of love. But it's, hey, I'm in this through thick and thin. I'm in this through the worst and the best. I am in this for the long haul. And the Bible, and the love that we see in the Bible and Scripture is a love that is full of ups and downs. It's full of frustrations. It's full of unmet expectations. When God has expressed and it discloses his love to his creation, what do we see in his people? That they constantly reject him and they turn their back on him after he's shown himself faithful to them over and over and over and over and over again. There's these people that he loves and he's bound himself to. They just turn their back on him. And they fall away. And so you see in this relationship that God has with creation, ups and downs, where they turn back to him and they give him everything and then they turn away and then they come back and give him to everything, right? And so this love in the Bible is full of ups and downs. It's full of frustrations. It's full of unmet expectations. It's not perfect in our eyes, but it is anchored in the faithfulness and the commitment of God. It's anchored in the faithfulness and commitment to God. And so what's important for us to understand as we move forward is that we cannot have God without also having his people. We can't have God without having also his people. We cannot take on the identity of Christ, a person of Christ. I'm one of his. Without taking upon the identity of the church. You and I are his body, and he is the head. And so when we take on Christ, we are bound to him through the blood of the covenant, and we are also bound to each other through the blood of the covenant. And so what I want you to be thinking about is as we go through this morning's message, is how does this apply to me? If this is truth in the Word of God, what does this mean for me, and how can I apply myself to it to a greater degree? So in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, here we are. And Paul writes this letter for a purpose. And the purpose that Paul writes this letter is because there's a lot of division going on in the church in Corinth. Lots of division. There's issues at hand that are causing division. And so the fabric of community is being torn apart among the church in Corinth. Fabric of community, the fellowship, the communion, the understanding that I have been bound to my brother and my sister through thick and thin, through the worst of it all, through the frustrations and the unmet expectations. It's being ripped apart. And so Paul here is about to address all these issues, but I love how he addresses this letter. He starts it off, and when we read it, I want you to call attention. I want you to pay close attention to what Paul does. He's going to address who they are. And he's going to call out and he's going to remind them of who they are. He's going to call attention to their distinct identity as the people of God. And everything else that Paul writes in this letter, we're not getting into all the issues of this letter, but everything else falls under this beginning. He writes the beginning of this letter and he says, this is who you are. Okay, now let's deal with the nitty-gritty. This is who you are. Now we can deal with the stuff. Don't forget who you are and why you are these people. So here we are. In chapter 1, verse 1, it says, Paul, called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God and our brother Sosthenes. Here it is, verse 2. He addresses the letter to this. To the church of God in Corinth. To those sanctified in Christ Jesus. And to those called to be holy together, or saints together, with all those everywhere who call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. He says, grace and peace be to you from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 4, I always thank God for you because of the great His grace given you in Christ Jesus. For in Him you have been enriched in every way, and in all your speaking and in all your knowledge, because our testimony about Christ was confirmed in you. So therefore you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for the Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. He will keep you strong to the end so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 9, here it is. God, who has called you into fellowship with His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, is faithful. God, who has called you into fellowship, that word there is koinonia. That word there is He has called you into fellowship with His Son. The next verse I have up there is not up there, but here says this in verse 10. He says, I appeal to you then. So he talks about their identity. He calls out there. He activates their calling of God on their lives, saying, this is who you are. You are the church of God. You are sanctified. You are called to be saints. You've been called into fellowship. Now I appeal to you, in verse 10, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another so that there may be no divisions among you and that you may be perfectly united in mind and thought. In mind and thought. Now, let's go back into this real quick. Because this is really significant that he addresses this letter this way. And I believe that the Holy Spirit, inspiring Paul to pen these things out, was very intentional in saying this. Now, Paul could have easily addressed the issues right off the bat, right? He could have. He says, yo, dudes, this is Paul. I'm talking to all of you. This is what's going on. Let's fix it, okay? But he doesn't here. He's very intentional to activate the call of God on their lives, doesn't he? He says, you have been called into fellowship with one another as you've been called into fellowship with the Son. And so he starts off and he says, to the church of God in Corinth. Now there's a lot going on right there. To the church of God in Corinth. And he's being specific right here. He's calling them out and he's calling you guys, the church of God in Corinth. That word in the Greek is ekklesia. Now if there's any word that I have gotten passed on to me from the Pastor Phil, who was here for 18 years as the lead pastor, I got ekklesia from, which means to be called out, the called out ones of God. And it's a word that has been passed on through generation after generation after generation, and after me, it's going to be passed on to the generation after me. This understanding that you have been called out by God. There is a call of God on your life. And He has called you into His specific, eternal, divine, sacred purposes. Every single one of you in this room, called out by God for His purposes. That is an incredible thing to know. It's a life-changing thing to know. And so that word there, when he says the church, to the ecclesia of God, the people of God, the ones who have been called out of the world. Something else takes place in this word. It not only means to be called out into God's purposes, but it means to be called into God's purposes. It means to be called into a fellowship. The word there also means, ekklesia, is the assembly, the gathering together, what we're doing right now. This congregation is what ekklesia means. And so he's saying to all of you who gather together in Corinth, all the believers, all the people of God who congregate and meet and assemble together, just like we're doing this morning, to the church of God, he's calling out their identity and saying, you've been called by God for eternal purposes. And what's important for us to understand is that, you see, God has not called us as individuals to be individuals for God. He did not call each and every one of us out of darkness and into His glorious light and into His purposes so that we will individually do our own thing as the church. But He calls us into fellowship with one another. To be a part of the ecclesia, to be a part of the church, is to be a part of this gathering, this assembly of people gathering together, gathering together of all the people in this area who have been called by God for His awesome kingdom purposes. Which is what we're doing right here. And so God does not call us into isolation as individuals, but he's called us into community, into fellowship, into a bond that people of the same blood that covers my life, covers your life, and we are bound together for eternity. Only God is the one who can take all the scattered individuals of the earth and gather them together as one through Jesus Christ. And so you see, when believers gather together, when we assemble together, church happens. And so he's calling out to these people. He's saying, to the ones who have been called out, it doesn't happen in isolation. It happens in community and fellowship and understanding that you have been called into a gathering, into assembly of everyone else here who has been called by the same God for his purposes. And so I love what Paul says here. He says, to the church of God in Corinth. He's very specific, and he says, to the church of God in Corinth. Now I want you to understand something. This is very important for all of us to know and for us to remember this morning. Okay? He's speaking to the church in Corinth. He's speaking directly to a local church community, a local congregation. This letter was written to them. Okay? But what I want you to understand this morning is that the local church is not a part or a piece of the church. All right? It is the church in its local expression. All right, so in other words, each local community, like Cornerstone, we're a local community here in Delaware County, right? A local community, we represent the entire community of Christ. And so what that means, this is it right here, ready? So what that means is that the entire power of Christ, all of his resources, the empowerment and the gifts of the Spirit are made available to this church body right here. Right here. There's nothing that is lacked, but God offers himself fully to this congregation, to the church in Cornerstone. Does that make sense? The fullness of Christ has been made. And so what I want you to understand is that we are not this isolated piece of the church. We are the church. We are the church in this local, in this geographical location on earth. Think about that for a second. Right now, this gathering of people, when you think about that we have been called by God to be his gathering of people, his chosen ones, called out, sanctified as saints, for his eternal sacred purposes, right here in this room, in the 9 o'clock service, and the people who are not here today. We have been called by God into his purposes. We are the church together. Amen? The fullness of Christ, the power, entirety of his power is made available to every local congregation. Every local congregation. And so when he's addressing them, he's saying to the assembly of God's people. The assembly, the gathering of God's people in Corinth. We can take it as, church, you are the assembly of God's people in the Delaware Valley. And you've got a purpose. And you've got a call of God on your life. And I really challenge each and every one of you as you take away this morning's message to take this into your quiet time with the Lord and say, God, if this is truth, what do you want it to mean for me? How do I apply myself for it? What does this personally mean for me and my commitment to you? We have to remind ourselves that the church is God's plan. It's not man's idea. It's not something that we conjured up and it's God's plan. Church. For people to be in restored community with one another and with himself. Only God can take all the scattered people. Imagine it for a second. Everybody is an individual without God. Imagine every person, 8 billion people of us on earth without God. You have 8 billion individuals in isolation. And then God comes around and he says, I'm going to gather up my people. I'm going to call and invite every 8 billion people of you by name. I'm going to call you by name and say, I have a purpose for your life. You receive that invitation in Jesus Christ, sealed by the blood of the covenant. You have now been gathered together as God's people. And you have a call on your life. He's invited you by name for a specific calling to carry out his plans and his purposes to this world. Somebody say amen real quick. Amen. Amen. Going to get excited here in a second. Now, take this in love, please, because it's very important to say it, but please receive this in love. If the church is God's plan and is something that he intended for us to be in community and in fellowship, to gather together, to assemble together, if we decide for ourselves that we don't need the church, then it's a departure from God's plan. Okay? The church is God's plan to be restored in community, not only with himself, but with each other, to love one another when it gets difficult, when it gets frustrating, when it does not meet our expectations. I think everyone in this room can say one thing about this church that does not meet their expectation. Every single one of us. And so when it gets difficult, or when we see things that we don't like, we're like, all right, I'm not that committed, so I'll move on to the old thing. And there's this, I'll move on to the next thing where I can find, where's this perfect church out there? Where's this perfect church that's got every single element of that I can see in the Word of God? Where is it? Where can I see the perfect expression? You know where the perfect expression is? It's right here. And I mean that in the sense that we don't have it all together, and we might not meet all your expectations, but we trust in the living God, and we are surrendered hearts to him, and we believe that he is doing something in this church body through you. And so we call each other together every Sunday to say, you've got a call of God on your life. Let's do it together. Amen? Amen. Amen. Now, we can all try to have God without community, without being connected in fellowship. But I want you to understand, as we've said for the last 3 weeks, you've been brought into community by the blood of Jesus, that covenant that binds us together. But if we try to have God without community and without being in fellowship with his people, you will not experience the fullness of life with God. Why? Because it was designed to be in connection, not only with him, but with each other. It was designed by God to be in connection with each other, to be a part of a community of people who come from all different contexts, backgrounds, flavors, styles, economic class, races. It was designed to be all the scattered people of the world joined together by the banner of Jesus Christ, the blood of the covenant that holds us all together. And so that we would be as this visible expression to the world that through difficulty, through differences, through different distinctions, that we will be a people gathered together, call upon the name of the Father, and move together as one for the glory of our King. For the glory of our King. I would even say that you will live at a strong disadvantage in your Christian life if you choose to isolate yourself outside of the community of God. And I say that because I've seen it time and time and time again. People who have given their hearts to the Lord, and they're struggling, and they're just at this strong disadvantage. Why? Because we were meant to be connected to each other. We were meant to walk through life with each other. This is meant to be a place where you are able to be vulnerable and open to be yourself with all the mess that all of us are, understanding that we're all a mess, but to not to be judged or condemned, but to be girded up by your brother and your sister saying, we're in community together, and I'm walking with you, my brother. I'm walking with you, my sister. Let's point to Jesus. Let's move in the direction of Jesus. This may be the circumstance of your life. This may be what you're going through, but I'm going to walk with you, and we're going to walk towards Jesus. It's all going to be continuously moving in the direction of our King. And so we need each other. I've learned this more in the last 2 years than I've ever knew it before, but we need each other. God understands koinonia better than all of us. And the reason he understands it is because he established it, he created it, he lives in perfect fellowship and communion with himself, God the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit, three distinct persons living in perfect unity and fellowship together. And God knew that this is what we would be brought into, and so he brings us into it, and he knew that we would need perfect koinonia. He knew that we would need it because we need each other. We need each other in order to complete who we are to become. I've learned that more and more over the last 2 years, that we need each other in order to complete who we are to become. This is God's design. It is his plan. And so how are we going to apply ourselves to that this morning? In Ephesians chapter 5, I'm not going to read the whole scripture just for the sake of time right now. If you're writing notes, you can take it. In Ephesians 5, Paul expresses the love and devotion that Jesus has for the church. And he expresses here that Jesus, it talks about how devoted he is to the church. Jesus devoted to the church, the called out ones of God. He's devoted to all of us. The gathering of the people together that he's gathered from all the stretches of the earth. He's committed and devoted to us, his bride. And he's awaiting his bride. Well, as far as he's awaiting his bride, and he is devoted and committed to her. And so what I challenge you is that if he is so devoted and committed to the church, his bride, then you and I should be as well. This is God's will for all of us. If we are in Christ Jesus, by this you will know that all of you are my disciples. The world will know that you're my disciples if you have love for one another. And again, we understand that love to be a carrying of a burden with each other. To love someone is to carry the burden of love with them. To be with them when it doesn't meet your expectations. To commit yourself to love and to when everything is going outside of what you... When things are not happening the way you see that they should be going or that you feel that they should be going. You know, if anybody's married, you know what I'm talking about. But you remember that vow that you made, that covenant that you made to your spouse, and you said, love is what binds me to that person. And so no matter what's going on, no matter what the circumstances, I'm devoted and I'm committed and I'm sticking to this thing through ups and through downs, through missed expectations, through frustrations. I'm here for the long haul because God has called me here. He's not giving up on his commitment. God is not dating the church as if there might be something better that he's going to move on to. He's devoted and committed to the church. And if he's committed and devoted to the church, let us not date the church, but stay in covenant relationship with the church. And Kenge, worship team, can I invite you guys on up, please, as we finish up? I know I went a little long, but that's okay, because this is good stuff. Amen? Amen. If you guys would just play that last song that you did, we're going to close with that song. But I want each of you to take this truth of who you are as the church of God in Delaware Valley. You have been called by God to be his holy representations of his kingdom on this earth. Next week, I'm pumped for next week's message. Because right, the last 2 weeks, we've been talking about our identity as this covenant community. Now we're going to go right into a purpose. What's it for? Who are we and why are we? I'm pumped for next week's message. I really am. But I want each and every one of you to take this away and bring this to your personal time with the Lord and say, God, if this is truth, which I believe it is because it's in your word, what does this mean for me? How do you want me to respond personally to this? I think the key goal for the church is that we identify with her, the church, with one another, in the way that God identifies with her. In love and devotion and commitment, even when there's unmet expectations, frustrations, right? I think that there's so much power in that. When the called ones of God say, I am committed and devoted to being a called out one of God, And I'm here for you, Lord. I'm devoted to you. All I have is completely surrendered to you. And so I surrender my expectations. I surrender my frustrations with the church. Because it's made up of imperfect people. But it's imperfect people that are being made into perfection by the Holy Spirit within us. And if we can have eyes for each other and gaze upon other churches in our area with the same love, I believe God is going to do something tremendous in this area. I believe it with everything inside of me. You may not be aware of it this morning, but I want to make you aware of it. A lot of churches, they have what is called membership in a church, and you can be a part of it. You can be a member of the church, but there's something that we do a little bit differently here at Cornerstone, and it's a beautiful thing. And instead of membership, we have what is called partnership, where we believe that, like Paul was saying here, that we're in partnership with one another. And like we said last week, each and every one of us are equal partakers in the inheritance of God, and so we are partners in the gospel message together, equally. And so we're all equal partners in this. And so we here at Cornerstone have we exercise this commitment of partnership. And you may not have heard us talk about it before. I may not have discussed it before, but I'm discussing it now, so that's good. But if this message spoke to you, or if during this week this message is speaking to you and into your heart, maybe today you would like to make that first commitment to His church, to this local congregation right here, to Cornerstone. This local gathering, this assembly, and saying, I'm going to be devoted, I'm going to be committed, I'm going to go through it with the ups and the downs and the frustrations and the unmet expectations, because God is calling me to His work here in this place. And God has given each and every one of you abilities, talents, giftings that this ecclesia needs for the surrounding community around us and to reach those who do not know Him. So maybe today you would like to make that commitment of partnership, to become partners in Cornerstone. And if that's something that you want to do, you can come see me afterwards. You can call us in the week and talk to me directly, and I will talk with you and sit down with you and discuss a little bit more in depth what it means to be a partner of Cornerstone and all the cool stuff that takes place as a partner of Cornerstone. So I want to offer that to you. Because you are called by God for His purposes. And there's something about being devoted and committed to a church body. And saying, I'm going to stick with this and commit to this. God blesses that. It's God's design. And maybe you already are a partner of Cornerstone. And just in your heart and in your mind, you want to renew that commitment, that devotion. That commitment that you made to be a partner in this church and what that looks like. And so, as we go into this last song, I just want to have us all close our eyes. Let's just all close our eyes. I'm just going to pray for us all right now. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the truth of your word. Thank you, Lord, that when you speak something, it is. Father, I pray for a renewed sense of understanding, revelation, illumination of what it means to be called by you for your purposes in 2017. That we are called into exactly what you have ordained for right now. God, I pray that you would allow us to understand and to move and to walk and to live out what it means to be in fellowship and community with one another, bound by the blood of the covenant. I thank you for all that you've done. I thank you for this truth. And Lord, I renew my commitment to you and my devotion to your church. Lord, if we're all honest with each other and we're honest with you, there are all times when we all get frustrated with the church. But God, you have something so much bigger going on. So Lord, I pray for every person that's hearing this message and praying this prayer along with me, Lord, that you would enable us to see the big picture each and every day that we wake up, Lord God, and allow us to see the size of what you're doing, the magnitude of what you're doing, God. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would enable us to apply ourselves and give us the courage to apply ourselves and to commit ourselves to what you're doing. We pray all this in Jesus' name over this church body. Amen and amen. Would you stand with me?